Hello and welcome to the Thursday, December 6th, 2012 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Let's start with a brief follow-up to a story from yesterday, and this was the story about SMS spoofing. Number of sites do accept SMS messages from users and authenticate the user by looking at the from number, essentially the caller ID for the SMS message. Twitter was one of the sites here mentioned, and of course, a very prominent site. Now, it turns out that there is now a workaround for this. You can set up a PIN with Twitter, and then you have to include this PIN at the beginning of each tweet that you send via the SMS message. Now, however, most Twitter users use a shortcode to tweet their message. Shortcode is one of these shorter numbers that you use, like 4044 is Twitter's shortcode. If you use a shortcode, then actually the spoofing doesn't work and the source address is actually authenticated. This is in part because shortcodes are geographically specific. They're not phone numbers in that sense, so the actual source number is transmitted differently to the shortcode. If you can use a shortcode, probably the easiest way to do is, use a shortcode. Keep using it if you have been using it so far. So only if you cannot use a shortcode, if you have to use the entire Twitter phone number, the 10-digit phone number, then you should definitely set up a PIN number. And then we do have an update for Bind, the name server. It's now up to version 9.9.2, patch level 1. 6 security flaws, but they're all denial of service or memory leaks, so nothing overly critical here. Doesn't mean you shouldn't apply it, but take the necessary caution in applying this particular update. One interesting new security related feature is elliptic curve digital signature algorithms for DNSSEC. And then additional tools to make it easier to use DNSSEC, that's certainly needed. One tool, DNSSEC Check DS. This is a tool that will tell you what DS records you need to publish, and then DNSSEC Verify, that will make sure that your DNS zone is correctly signed. So far, I've used mostly online tools to achieve this, but of course, with these command line tools, you should be able to verify your zones before you actually publish it. So that makes this a nice and scriptable process. Then we got a new version of Hashcat. Hashcat is a tool that allows you to brute force SHA-1 hashes and, other password hashes. With this new version, the author included what the author calls a weakness to make it faster to calculate SHA-1 hashes. Now, Heise had an interesting take on this particular issue, saying that it's actually not a weakness. These SHA hashes were designed to be fast. That was actually one of the design goals. They were not designed to be slow, where of course if you're trying to hash passwords, you kind of want it to be slow, which really means that maybe SHA algorithms are not necessarily the greatest choice for password hashing. And then we got another large leak of identity data. This time it's Nationwide and Allied Insurances. Reportedly, they lost something like 1.1 million users' data. This may affect you if you have insurance with one of these companies or if you applied for insurance. Looks like complete insurance applications got stolen here. Social security numbers, driver's license numbers, date of birth. So pretty much everything you need to steal an identity. If you are affected, you should receive a letter from Nationwide informing you of that, and you will be offered a year's worth of free credit monitoring and up to $1 million in ID theft protection in case your identity should actually be stolen. At this point, they don't have any evidence that the information actually has been used. While we're talking about identity theft, the Health Information Trust Alliance did a study of recent breaches in healthcare. They looked at 495 breaches that led to 21 million exposed patient records. What they found is that your data is pretty much most at risk in small offices. No big surprise here. For example, they also mentioned that theft of hardware. If you think about a small doctor's office or such, they're usually physically not as secure as, for example, a big hospital server room. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.